Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. How soon will we know who won the election? 78 million Americans have already cast ballots, and it'll take some time to count all of them, plus additional ballots to be cast tomorrow. Here's ABC News political director Rick Klein.
Georgia and North Carolina, for instance, we're expecting a relatively fast count. Some of the biggest Pennsylvania counties say they're going to handle things faster than last time, but very likely we're bleeding at least into Wednesday. Nevada and Arizona, meanwhile, they're probably not going to have final votes by the end of the week. And that is not a sign of anything being off. It's what state officials say to expect, especially if the margins in any of those places are really tight.
Kamala Harris will spend all of her time today in Pennsylvania. Donald Trump will be there, also in North Carolina and Michigan. Nearly a dozen people were hurt in a series of tornadoes that touched down around Oklahoma City over the weekend. Israel has terminated the agreement with the work of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. UNRWA was the main aid provider in Gaza. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. visited Rice Lake over the weekend to make a final call for supporters to get to the polls. Kennedy spoke at the University of Wisconsin's Barron County campus, telling his supporters to cast their votes for former President Donald Trump. Kennedy had initially entered the race as an independent candidate, but dropped out and endorsed former President Trump earlier this year. He also sued to have his name removed from the Wisconsin ballot, but was unsuccessful as he did not withdraw before the deadline to have his name removed. Gwen Walls, wife of vice presidential nominee and Minnesota Governor Tim Walls, visited western Wisconsin over the weekend to energize campaign volunteers in the final stretch. Walls visited Eau Claire, Hudson, and Wausau over the weekend, telling door knockers and phone bankers to keep up their great work with the finish line in sight. She also criticized her husband's Republican opponents, claiming former President Donald Trump is fighting for himself, not the people. Gwen Walls has made a number of visits throughout Wisconsin during the campaign. Parents in Duluth trying to figure out how to make time to vote will have a new child care option available to them for free. The downtown Duluth YMCA has announced it will allow any residents to drop off their kids for a couple of hours so they can get to the polls and cast their ballots. The free daycare will be available for kids up to 9 years old from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Election Day. The organization will have live music and games to keep kids entertained. YMCA officials will also help voters find their polling place and answer any other questions they have. Duluth area drivers should be aware of a lane closure on the Blatnik Bridge this week. According to the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the closures will happen simultaneously overnight this week to cause minimal disruptions. They will last from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. Tuesday night through Thursday morning. During the closures, Department of Transportation crews will restrict the I-35 southbound lanes to one lane from Mesaba Avenue to 27th Avenue West. The closures are for sign installation as part of the Twin Ports Interchange project. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers fall to the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was an NFC North battle, and the Packers came up short, losing 24-14 to the Detroit Lions. Jordan Love throwing an interception, returned for a touchdown, a quarterback rating of just 69.7.
You know, it's definitely disappointing, putting the ball in jeopardy way too many times, and definitely something I have to clean up.
The Lions improved to 7-1. The Vikings in second place after beating the Colts 21-13. The Packers head into the bye in third place at 6-3. Baseball, the Brewers with two players named Gold Glove winners, Sal Frelick and Bryce Turang. The last time two Brewers won in the same season, 1979. Sixto Lascano and Cecil Cooper. NBA, Bucks in Cleveland to face the Cavaliers. Milwaukee now 1-5. Bobby Portis says his home was broken into during Saturday night's game.
I know we've gotten out to a horrible start to start the season, but while I was at my game yesterday, I had a home invasion and they took most of my prized possessions.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with some off and on patchy fog here throughout the day. Today, our high in the low to mid 60s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with showers in the mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and highs in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill,
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the Farm Bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the Farm Bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, leave a comment there too on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very, very busy show. One day to go. One day tomorrow. Of course, is Election Day. Our guest at 10:33, he is returning for a second time. Alexander Vindman is a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel who was a big part of the testimony in the first impeachment trial of Donald Trump. And he has obviously decades of experience working in the military with Ukraine specifically. And we're going to be talking about national security and what a second Trump term would mean to the U.S. on the global stage. I think it's really important. We are in a global world, and it's a global economy. And we don't go it alone anymore.
And every decision the president makes has a global impact. Whether it's they think it's a local decision, domestic, it still has global impact.
Yeah, there's ramifications. So that is at 10:33. Alexander Vindman will be here. Derek Mosley, friend of the show from the Lubar Center at Marquette University Law School, will be checking in. We're going to talk about the latest poll. Of course, the Charles Franklin poll out of Marquette carries a lot of weight. It's been around a long time, and he's going to talk a little bit about the methodology that they use when they do polling. I think it should be very interesting. And then we're going to talk a little. We like to talk to Derek about food.
Oh, we're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about food-related events and everything. Oh, he's just do yourself a favor beforehand. Just follow him on all the social media, Facebook, his Instagram.
He's great.
He's wonderful.
He really is. And we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, mic check edition.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And a reminder as well, tomorrow, of course, make sure you are a voter, baby.
Be a voter.
You can still register day of. So tomorrow, if you are not registered to vote yet, you can vote and get registered to vote tomorrow. But go and make sure you have everything you're going to need to take with you, because you're going to have to bring some documentation. So go to myvote.wy.gov. Go to civicmedia.us/vote and make sure that you know what you need to do if you want to register tomorrow.
The best plan right now, all early voting is closed in Wisconsin. You cannot vote today. But go to the websites as a resource. Call your clerk's office. Ask them all the information you need. Get your questions answered so that way when you walk up to your polling place, you've got everything you need. You know what's going on. And you don't have to worry about, like, shenanigans or just, you know, being blindsided by, oh, I don't have my ID. Well, you got to go home and get it because you need to have it.
So, that's why, look it up ahead of time.
And it probably best to wear a pair of comfy shoes, bring a podcast or a book, because you might be in line for a little bit, especially if you have to register.
Exactly. I don't know if you saw some of the early voting lines from yesterday in Milwaukee.
Oh, my good gracious.
And not just in Milwaukee, but this is pretty much all around the country where they have early voting. Massive turnout.
Yeah, this is going to
big turnout.
I just have a feeling that we are going to see records broken on turnout, records broken on who votes for what. I just feel like this is going to be a very, very historic election.
And as the results are coming in, we will have you covered. We're going to start special coverage tomorrow night across the Civic Media Radio Network from 6 to 8 p.m. Pete Schwabe and I will be hosting that. We're going to have many guests, including our host before us, Earl Ingram, will be joining us tomorrow night between 6 and 8 p.m. And then starting at 8 o'clock, Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow will take over as they start, hopefully, again, the polls close tomorrow at 8.
Yeah.
We're not going to get the results by 10 p.m.
We're
just expect that that's not going to be a thing.
We'll get local races. We'll get certain races. We might get Wisconsin by late night, early morning, possibly Wednesday during the day. But if this is anything like 2024, it's going to be an almost a week long process. So we should be expecting that as
yes.
well. And here's a couple of things to remember. One, Donald Trump and his supporters will declare victory the moment the polls close on whatever coast they
by want. By 8:02.
Don't let that get in your way.
By 8:02, he's going to say, stop counting the ballots.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is they've already started. They're going to start with their election shenanigans as far as trying to file lawsuits. Didn't work for them in 2020. It shouldn't work for them now. And also, folks, be on the lookout for poll watchers. There's a lot. If you're doing your work as a poll watcher, you're just there as an independent person making sure everything is going on. But there have been... we've been seeing videos of people just not acting on their best behavior. And so just be unintimidated, go to the polls, cast your vote, exercise your right, and, you know, be a voter.
Be a voter, baby. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Be cool.
So join us tomorrow night starting at 6 p.m. We're going to go until whenever.
Yep.
TBD, to be determined.
I love some tibida.
Yeah, some of that. But we wanted to start off with this, and... I am very serious when I say this, in that I think some of our elected officials need some help.
Yeah.
I do, and I don't say this sarcastically. I am genuinely concerned about some of our elected officials and their mental well-being
mm-hmm.
and the people around them who I think should be watching over them maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
We're talking in specific about Derek Van Orden.
Yes.
Who represents the 3rd Congressional District here in Wisconsin. He is running against Rebecca Cook. And we've talked to folks in that area before, and one of the problems with that, with the 3rd is that the main media market is out of the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's not a big TV market based there, so they get the vast majority of their TV market is out of Minneapolis.
Can you imagine living in Minnesota and having to get Wisconsin and Minnesota election ads? Oh.
Oh, boy. Yeah, right. Double dose.
Yeah.
But Derek Van Orden recorded a message for KSTP-TV in Minnesota that I believe aired on Friday. They were giving both of the candidates, both Derek Van Orden and Rebecca Cook, 30 seconds to make their case.
Yeah.
This is the ad that Derek Van Orden played, and we're going to play it for you now. Kevin, let's play that clip, please. Of DDO.
Hi, everybody. It's Derek Van Orden. I've had the honor and privilege of serving Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District for about the last year and a half in the United States Congress. And this election is about three things: gas, groceries, and grandkids. People are having difficulty filling up a gas tank and a grocery cart on the same day in the United States, and that's unacceptable. And we're concerned about the future and security for our children and grandchildren in a way we simply were not like 4 years ago. So I'm asking you, send me back to Washington, D.C. to help give us a secure, prosperous, and free United States of America. So God bless you. God bless you and your families. And God bless the United States of America. Vote Van Orden.
We're going to include this clip in the show notes. I think it's important that you see the video.
Yeah, the video, if it doesn't sound like it to you, you watch the video. He appears to be intoxicated.
He does. He appears to be having had a few.
He is slurring his speech. He is a little bit repeating himself. He does not speak with the confidence. And this is not, he's a man who speaks with confidence. I've seen him speak many times on TV and on video, and he does not have a problem with projecting in a confident manner. This was something different. And once again, this is us not saying anything other than, we're worried.
Yeah, I think That is not good.
No.
It's not good, and it doesn't look good for him.
No.
And I think the people around him...
Doesn't make Wisconsin look good either.
No, it doesn't. And as a reminder of some of his previous behaviors, let's go back to the Senate pages.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tradition that at the end of their term, these Senate pages who are teenagers...
Yeah.
They go into the Capitol, they go into the Senate chambers, and they take pictures of the ceiling because it's supposed to be very, you know, it's very beautifully decorated. This is a tradition. This happens all the time. And when the Senate pages were doing just that, taking photos of the ceiling at the end of their terms, he walks in and starts swearing at them.
Yeah.
And screaming at them and telling them how they are defiling this place. Senators came back and said, this is not acceptable. There is no reason why, who is in the House, Derek Van Orta is in the House.
Yeah.
He has no connection with these Senate pages.
No, he has no reason to be speaking to them. Well, he has no reason to be speaking to anyone in that manner anyways.
What kind of elected official do you want who's screeching at teenagers, using profanity to describe the pages as lazy, ordering them off the floor of the Capitol Rotunda? Quote, I'm not going to apologize for making sure that anybody, I don't care who you are and who you're related to, defiles this house. It's not going to happen on my watch, man.
Okay, first of all, calm down, Derek. Second of all, there is video of this happening and it is yet to be released.
And why haven't we seen it yet?
Because it's owned on a, it was taken on a phone by Mr. Brian Stile, also a congressman of the 1st District of Wisconsin.
His challenger, by the way, is Peter Barca.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be able to see that video.
Yeah, I think it's filmed by a public servant in a building that is a public building.
Our building.
And this is just, and like also let's talk about the fact that he sits on the Ag Committee and he's so proud of sitting on the Ag Committee and he's the first one from Wisconsin. He's not to sit on the Ag Committee. And he yells at farmers, Darren Von Ruden, not Derek Van Orten, Darren Von Ruden.
Yeah.
Who is the head of the farmers union? He yells at him because Darren and Derek have different opinions. Well, that shouldn't matter. Darren is a farmer. You represent Wisconsin. That area is heavily farming. Put your differences aside. Don't yell at a man like that.
And it was because Darren Van Ruden had said something earlier about Derek Van Orten that Derek didn't like.
Yeah.
Well, you're a politician, honey. People are going to say things about you that you don't like.
We are that currently doing
mean,
that.
That doesn't mean you just think, well, under the current place, yes, yeah. We can say what we think.
Yeah.
That may not be the case should the election go a different way.
Vote.
Yeah. Make sure you vote. If you would like to check in on this, the number is 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt Nair on air coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year.
But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 10:30 news, Alexander Vindman will be here. If you watched the first Trump impeachment trial, Alexander Vindman's testimony was critical and crucial. We're going to talk about a second Trump administration and what that would mean for the U.S. globally and how that affects all of us, because that's going to affect prices. If you're worried about high prices now, Donald Trump continues to talk tariffs like tariffs are the solution to everything in the world. Our prices are going to go up.
Yeah,
That's how tariffs work. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about that with Alexander Vindman and much, much more coming up after the 10:30 news. Wanted to give a heads up. That was Quincy Jones produced tune from Michael Jackson. We just lost Quincy Jones over the weekend at the age of 91.
Yeah, it was the first notification on my phone. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, he was a remarkable, remarkable producer. Just astonishing career.
Yeah, I mean, just a producer is just one minor, well, not minor, but just one tiny aspect of his career.
Yeah.
Businessman, entrepreneur, all the great things. 91. What a life.
So we're gonna do some drops from that were produced by Quincy Jones all throughout the show today. Quincy Jones gone at the age of 91. This just came out this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Laura Schulte. Headline reads, Wisconsin to distribute $273 million to address PFAS and lead in drinking water. Governor Evers announcing this money today. It's going to go out to 86 municipalities through the DNR's Safe Drinking Water Program. A portion of the funding provided by the federal bipartisan infrastructure law, which, by the way, every Republican in Wisconsin voted against.
Yeah.
Just reminding you, if you haven't cast your ballot yet, who actually approves the money for their constituents who are drinking poisoned water, it's not the Republicans.
It's not. It is not. Say it louder. It's not. The Republicans.
Communities can use this money to replace lead service lines and filter water supplies for PFAS. Across Wisconsin, countless folks and families worry about PFAS every time they turn on the tap, says Governor Evers in a release. And he also gave a shout out to the Biden-Harris administration and Senator Tammy Baldwin for advancing the money as part of the infrastructure law.
I need to find a count of all the money she's brought to Wisconsin.
Tammy brings it home.
A lot of billions with a B,
yeah,
to this state for all of us.
Yeah, among the towns who are going to be getting help, the town of Campbell will get almost $1 million to address PFAS in the private wells on French Island. They have been waiting for help for years. Years. The village of Clinton getting $700,000 to treat elevated iron in one of its wells. Kenosha, more than $7 million to replace lead lines. Manitowoc, $5.5 million replacing lead lines. Milwaukee, more than $30 million for those lead lines. And Watertown, more than $14 million. Just a reminder, there is money sitting that has been approved, waiting to go out to these communities that the Joint Finance Committee will not release because they want provisions that will forgive the polluters.
That is why this story, and it shouldn't, folks, but it does. It burns my grits. Because this is 270, you said?
$273 million.
That is more than twice the amount that's sitting in Wisconsin that the Joint Finance Committee is not releasing. One of the members of the Joint Finance Committee, Dewey Strobel.
Oh.
You know, good old-fashioned Dewey Strobel, who's like, we're doing so much. You're doing nothing.
And they're really good at doing nothing.
This makes us look, I mean, okay, first of all, thank you, Tammy Baldwin. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you to everyone who voted for this bill. Everyone. But this is shameful for us that we have the money and the opportunity to take care of this ourselves, that it is voted on and is passed bipartisan through the Madison legislature. And then the JFC, which is a small amount of them, are saying, no,
nope.
No, we're not going to do
nope.
that. That is infuriating. They are holding polluters over the health of our people.
Yes.
So the federal government, which they hate anyways, too much government, the federal government is our business. They have to come in and help us now because you all are sitting on your duffs doing nada in month 9 of your 10-month vacation.
We're sitting on $4 billion in surplus money.
We're sitting on hundreds of millions in money that needs to be released for PFAS, hospitals, education.
Literacy programs that are already, they're mandated and underway, and they haven't released the money.
This is unacceptable. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. And anyone who thinks that, you're just being too, no, you're wrong. These are children, our education. This is our health. These are hospitals not being financed. The government had to come in. The federal government had to come in and save our tuckuses for this and said, not only we're going to take care of the bill, we're going to give you more. And it's a grant.
It's a grant. Yeah, in some instances. Again, we'll put this in our show notes as well. Article today. Feisty today.
I'm so angry about this.
Laura Schulte. Wisconsin to distribute $273 million to address PFAS and lead in drinking water. This is good for all residents of Wisconsin, no matter how you vote. Speaking of voting, if you would like to keep seeing the Wisconsin legislature be the most accomplished at accomplishing nothing, then continue to vote for these Republicans who have been there for too long.
The only group less accomplished? The U.S. Congress.
Boy, it's a tough, gee.
We're taking this thing all the way to nationals,
yeah,
baby.
It's a tough call. Who does less on behalf of the American people? Just one quick reminder, too, before we go to the news. Tammy Baldwin brings it home. Eric Hovde doesn't know what's in the farm bill.
Correct.
And no
Ron
idea.
Johnson.
And doesn't feel the need because he doesn't have the job yet. So
yeah.
Just remember that, too. When you go to vote
Tammy Baldwin,
tomorrow,
our working senator.
Everybody be a voter. Everybody who's anybody is a voter. News is on the way next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially globally, Civic Media Radio Network. And just enjoy yourself.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin officials say nearly 55,000 pounds of unused or expired medications were collected around the state for Drug Takeback Weekend. The event took place over the last weekend of October, giving residents a chance to get rid of their unused or unwanted medications to reduce the risk of opioid addiction. According to the Wisconsin Department of Justice, this fall's take-back total was slightly lower than last spring's and about 5,000 pounds lower than last fall's. Officials are waiting for national numbers to see where Wisconsin ranked. A Rusk County town is appealing a federal injunction requiring it to use accessible voting machines. The town of Thornapple was hit with the injunction a few weeks ago, accused of violating the Help America Vote Act by removing voting machines and deciding to hand count paper ballots for the April and August primary elections. The town's appeal challenges the definition of voter system. The town attempted to have the lawsuit dismissed, but their motion was denied by Wisconsin Western District Chief U.S. Judge James Peterson. The city of Ashland is in the process of suing the designers of the pier along Lakeshore Drive East after it was forced to close due to ice damage. According to court documents, the city is suing C&S Design and Engineering for breach of contract and negligence due to the allegedly substandard pier. City officials say they noticed deficiencies just a year after the new pier was built and hired an outside firm to inspect it. The 2018 pier replacement was an over $500,000 project that received funding from various grants and programs. As the 2024 Minnesota deer season opener approaches, Department of Natural Resources officials are sharing reminders for hunters. Officials say deer numbers in the northeast part of the state are behind the goal, and it may take a few more mild winters for them to rebuild their population. DNR officials are also reminding hunters to check out their equipment to make sure everything is in good shape before heading out. If hunters harvest a deer in a chronic wasting disease management zone, they must have it checked out within 48 hours. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. From the little screen to the big screen, John Krasinski is keeping the role of Jack Ryan. Krasinski played Ryan for 4 seasons on the Amazon Prime series Jack Ryan. The Hollywood Reporter says he will now move to the big screen, where he will be the 5th actor to play the character over the last 35 years. Previous Ryans include Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, and Chris Pine. There is no word yet on which Tom Clancy novel the next film will be based on. Joining Krasinski in the cast will be Wendell Pierce as James Greer and Mike Kelly as Mike November. Both men also reprising their roles from the Prime series. Wicked opens November 15th in theaters, and the early buzz from critics, they're raving about it. One critic for Variety called it a masterpiece. Pop star Ariana Grande plays the lead role of Glinda. If you hear a murmuring across the country, it's Oscar buzz. This is part one of the film. Part two will hit theaters in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and dreary today, with scattered shower chances continuing and a south breeze. High temperatures today will flirt with 60 degrees and stay mild tonight and only fall to 40. Before tomorrow, get ready to get soaked. More rain rolls in, where we could get up to an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
My name is Anton Moore. Around here, we have hardworking people that just need a break. Whether it's investing in small businesses or making housing affordable, Vice President Harris gets it.
Kamala Harris is making sure black men have the tools to build generational wealth. She'll put a policy in place that gives 1 million forgivable loans to help entrepreneurs, including black entrepreneurs, start their own businesses. She also plans to give $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time homeowners and crack down on racial bias in home appraisals. Harris's plan will help black men own more assets so we can build long-term wealth.
This is what an investment in my community looks like. We're trying to build generational wealth. No get-rich-quick schemes, no scams, no one-time check, none of that. Vice President Harris got our back. I'll be there on November 5th. Will you be there?
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we broadcast from Madison with Deborah Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski as we kick off Election Day in Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
We'll be right back.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, local election officials recommend that if you still have an absentee ballot, take it to your local clerk to ensure it is received by 8 p.m. Election Day, which is tomorrow. And Wisconsin is a same-day registration state. So if you weren't able to register beforehand, you can do it tomorrow. But you want to make certain you have all of the documentation you're going to need. So double-check that at myvote.wy.gov. You can also go to civicmedia.us/vote. And that's where you're going to find this really great comprehensive voter guide that Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area put together. So if you have not registered to vote yet, all early voting is done here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You can still register tomorrow, but make sure you've got the stuff you need so you can get your ballot in. Glad to have him back. Alexander Vindman is a United States, retired rather, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel. He was the Director for European Affairs for the U.S. National Security Council until he was reassigned in 2020. He is currently the director for the think tank, the Institute for Informed American Leadership. Alexander Vindman, good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. That's a nice way of saying reassigned.
That's from your Wikipedia. Yeah, that's from your Wikipedia page. Yeah, do you want to explain?
I will. And I appreciate it. So I think Wikipedia, people just kind of write whatever they want in there. And like I was fired after the Senate acquitted Donald Trump of abuse of power, even though the House impeached him. And then Donald Trump and his team politicized my military career. They had been for months and blocked my promotion along with hundreds of military officers' promotions. They ended my military career. So, and that was the first step, just firing me from the White House. He kind of marched out of there. So anyway, I'll fix that on Wikipedia.
I'm sure you've got a couple other things going on. I know your brother is out on the campaign trail, but I think it's important that folks understand, Alexander, that you know firsthand the vindictive nature of Donald Trump.
Absolutely. I think, I am in Eugene's district on Northern Virginia. I've been around talking to people and explaining to them the danger that we face and that it's in the American people's power to avert by showing up and doing their civic duties and voting. Many folks in Wisconsin already have. A lot of folks are waiting till Election Day. But deliver this message, this mandate, that we reject fear. We reject intimidation. We reject retaliation, and we're embracing the plans and policies for prosperity for the American people. And my experience, yes, is one of a number of folks that was fired because I exposed Donald Trump's corruption as my duty as a military officer. I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And now, unfortunately, he's even more organized. You know, he says he wants to have Liz Cheney put before a firing squad, or, he says that he wants to punish, maybe even murder reporters. And he has a plan to take a lot of his ideas and realize them. It's Project 2025, where he plans to fire wholesale tens of thousands of government employees, eliminate the nonpartisan, apolitical military officer corps, put it in loyalists, and really kind of unravel all those checks and balances that were designed by our founding fathers. So we saw early indicators of that. Now he has a plan. He doesn't have any plans to bring in people that will provide good counsel for him. It's all about loyalists and maximum benefits for Trump.
Yeah, the guardrails will be gone for a second Trump term, and he will be surrounded by yes men. And I think folks should take what you said to heart, Alexander, about he wants this to be his military, to do his bidding, not the bidding of the American people, not what is in the best interest of America, but he wants the military to do his bidding.
Well, he referred to the military as his military, and was informed by the military that they serve the American people, they serve the Constitution, and that you know, they would not forsake their oaths to and obligations to the American public. And these are the folks that you see John Kelly and Mark Milley describing Donald Trump as fascist to the core. And we also need to believe his own words about what he wants to do, his vision of retribution for the Americans that don't support him. But you know, it's interesting. He's looking to win this election on fear. He's looking to win this election on intimidation. He's looking to feed the grievances of this minority of the American public that wants a score settle like he does. What we have is such a stark contrast to Kamala Harris, who is running on the obligation to serve the American people and deliver prosperity. So that is everything from housing for that seems out of reach for too many Americans, better access to health care, preservation of safety nets like Social Security and the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare for pre-existing conditions, all these things. It's such a stark contrast, expanding access, expanding the American dream versus somebody that really wants to do tax cuts. And why is this? Why am I talking about this? Because it's a national security issue. American strength starts at home. The American public will come together. I'm very confident of this. Will come together and put to bed this hatred of Trump and MAGA and embrace a brighter future. But it takes the voters in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. A lot of your listeners probably already voted, but their friends and family that maybe aren't paying attention or having a hard time getting to the polling booths, haven't registered on time and don't realize that they're same day voting in Wisconsin. Making sure those folks show up and vote for their rights, vote for their freedoms, vote for prosperity and not hate and fear.
Sir, one of the things we've talked about and you touched on as well just now is when we talk about things like Project 2025 and we talk about, you know, the comments he makes about Liz Cheney about exacting violent revenge. We will get callers who will say, "Well, you're falling for the punchline. You're taking it too seriously. You're exaggerating. Nobody's believing that stuff." In all of your experience, sir, what do you say to an individual like that who thinks that we're in their protection of Donald Trump? We're the ones who are just being too ridiculously serious and not understanding the nuance of Trump. What do you say to people like that in your firsthand experience?
So first of all, this is extremely exasperating. I would say that if somebody's that far gone, you know, move on. That might not happen with family members. With family members, you could have that conversation, but don't let that be a distraction to the hard work that's in front, the phone banking, the postcard writing, too late to do postcards, but the reaching out to communities. I will tell you that anybody that I run into, random people on the street, I yell at them in a non-belligerent manner, "Hey, have you voted yet? Don't forget, Tuesday's..." I sound like a crazy person at this point.
But, you sound like a passionate person, sir.
I am definitely passionate. I was actually in Eugene's district in a deep red area for this steeplechase at Mount Pilatre. It was a home of James Madison, one of our founding fathers. And it should have been, you know, overwhelmingly kind of oppressive environment, but it was so joyful, so positive. I was wearing my Vindman for Congress vets hat, Kamala Harris gear, and people, you know, I got some dirty looks, but in general, people give me thumbs up and high fives. Feel the energy. Women are turning out in disproportionate numbers to protect their rights, vote for their rights. Men are going to do the same thing for their wives and daughters. The conventional wisdom is that this is going to be close. It might be, but it also could be a blowout because the American people don't believe our best days are behind us. Don't want to vote on a step back. They want to vote towards the future. But it takes people to be energized, involved, and engaged. And for those folks that are trying to distract and say, oh, he's not serious, my gosh, what more evidence can you take than the words of his own inner circle, than the things that he says regularly? I don't think we should be bogged down. We'll figure out how to come together with our our citizens and community members that are so far afield later. Right now, work hard to turn out the folks that are not plugged in, that, you know, might need a little more information or are persuadable.
Well, and it's as Liz Cheney said too, Alexander, she said at one point, we can survive 4 years of bad policies. We can't afford having a president who is willing to torch the Constitution. And that's what Donald Trump would do.
It's that, but it, frankly, it's more dangerous. I think, yes, there are a lot of perils to the way our way of life. You know, there's the First Amendment protectors are looking in the wrong place if they think that Elon Musk or Donald Trump are going to protect their rights.
Seriously.
Autocrats also, and same thing with Second Amendment rights. Frankly, you know, autocrats historically want to control the means of violence. What does that mean? That means when they become autocrats, they want to make sure that folks don't have access to firearms that could challenge them, that you don't have a well-armed, prepared militia like our founding fathers intended. Mm-hmm. So that those rights and freedoms are on the coming back. But I think there is actually a more dangerous. Yes, safety net. Yes, the folks that are prospering will do even better. But I think our enemies around the world will take the signal that they could go do their worst. That the rules of the jungle, the might makes right, the strong can prey on the weak, will be the way the world develops. And after our friends are either suppressed or cowed or defeated, we are still the big guy on the block, but we will be out there by ourselves. And it'll be a very, very chaotic world. Do we want chaos or do we want stability, predictability, even if we differ on some of the policies? I think that's what the American people will be voting for, have voted for, will be voting for tomorrow.
And I think it's important that folks remember that business and Wall Street, they hate chaos. Mm. They cannot function under chaos and uncertainty. They want certainty so they can plan ahead. Mm-hmm. So if you have chaos globally, this has direct financial implications to American lives. It does.
It's pretty absurd, frankly, if you think about it. They are so short-sighted. They are short-sighted on one thing that has been promised: tax cuts, enabling stock buybacks, and delivery to shareholders and things of that nature. Corporations unchecked that could build cartels and monopolies and price gouge. That is so short-sighted because we know the autocrats go for the money, go for the wealth. They do create instability. And the economy is, especially with this idea of tariffs, yeah, it sounds great that we're going to try to get the Chinese to pay for the things that we want. But does that ever happen? Do we get, in our lives, do we get people, strangers, or even opponents to do things like that for us? No, that's not the way the world works. And those costs are going to come back right to the American public and to those folks that could least defend it. And it's shocking how many people are willing to vote against their interests, but it is happening a lot as of anger and grievance. We just need to get past it and allow Harris and her team to come up with ideas that could, allow us to process and heal together.
Our guest, if you're just joining us, is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. We are going to continue our conversation with Alexander on the other side, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a
good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Alexander, one of our watchers on the live stream, Brendan, wanted us to make certain to thank you and your brother for your service.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I've been out with him the past several days. Right after this, I'm going to join him with more door knocking and canvassing. This is New York Times said this will be a bellwether, an early watch to figure out how the election is shaping up. I feel good. I feel good. I'm nauseously optimistic.
yep, we're hearing that a lot.
Yeah. But I frankly feel good. I think my anecdotal sample suggests it's definitely a good idea to be optimistic, but it's more than that. I'm also paying attention to the data. I do geopolitical analysis. I think we're going to do well, and we could put this whole Trump era, Trump troubles to bed and move on. But Wisconsin is going to be a critical component of that.
One of the things I was saying to Jane before we got on the air is that something I'm going to echo something you just said is that I feel good, and not because of hubris, but because of the energy from the people we speak with on this show. And we've talked to a lot of people running for office. And one thing they tell us is that they're going to these areas that are seen as traditionally Republican GOP, and they're getting a lot of maybe outward support, a lot of quiet support, but it sounds like that's what you're seeing too in these places. You're getting those thumbs up. They're not like coming out saying, "Give me a yard sign," but they're like, "I'm with you."
Yeah. Well, they're loud, obnoxious MAGA, and MAGA wants to, kind of thumb folks in the eye with their anger. But the rest of us are not necessarily like that. We're not looking to draw attention. But when people see folks wearing their colors, fellow Americans, I wear the American flag on my vote vet's hat and things of that nature. People come over, say hi. It's that I went to with my twin brother to one of the larger churches in this area, Baptist Church. My gosh, if you are down and you need to get some positive vibes, go to a place like that. Such a beautiful experience, so warm, so welcoming. Folks that have lots of reasons, frankly, to hold grievances about our difficult past, are really optimistic. And I think the fact is that we are a positive lot, Americans. I think Donald Trump is trying to tap into fears and hate. Those are driving forces for some. But the more powerful, I think, is hope, a little bit of love, and activity. I think we will. And on the backside, we'll have a lot of work to do, frankly, because a lot of folks have been left behind. A lot of policies need to be carried forward. We need to figure out how to deal with the tyranny of the minority as expressed in MAGA and mm-hmm. the capture of the Republican Party. A huge amount of work, but Harris, down ballot, are in a good position to serve the public interest.
Well, and I think those down ballot races are so very important, Alexander, because, again, we have seen since Mike Johnson has been Speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington, they haven't gotten anything done. Nothing gets done. We see the same thing here in Wisconsin with our Republican-controlled legislature. Nothing gets done. Mm-hmm. And I think people have had it. I think people are tired of it, and they're ready for a change, and they're ready to elect some folks who are actually going to respond to their needs and their concerns.
Yeah.
No, that's I'm feeling the same kind of vibes. You have a particular pet project of mine, Roman Johnson, probably one of the more kind of nefarious actors in the radical Republican architecture. The guy is really my biggest problem is that he's just entirely unprincipled. When I met him, it was as a before any public kind of public limelight. I was a professional director on the national channel. We took a trip to Ukraine, and he was such a stalwart supporter of Ukraine and recognizing that Russia is an aggressive actor that'll just continue to threaten our. But the minute he saw the political winds blow in a different direction, he right into line with Donald Trump and isolationists, and somebody that could cast off their principles that easily is really, really disturbing. I think there's I don't know how this is going to play out in all of the local elections, but by and large, we're going to see a shift towards moderate doers, folks that are to work hard rather than the folks that are scare tactics and fear.
We really appreciate your time. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, retired from the U.S. Army. By the way, Alexander, I follow your wife on Twitter. I love her.
She's awesome. Yeah, she's a good follow on Twitter and Substack.
She doesn't take crap from anybody. She's fantastic.
Yeah, we might not be on Twitter that much longer. We might have to find a new home because of how toxic it's become. But yeah.
Yep, we'll see. We'll see you there. Thank you so very much, retired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Really appreciate your time, sir, and for your service. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, joins me. We will preview the election on Tuesday. Plus, what's the right way to deal with election stress? I got answers. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.